welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 14, and this is Tuesday, once again, September the 17th, 2013. Now, if you didn't notice, you may not have noticed, this was not live last night, I guess, when this comes out. The reason that is I'm trying to pull away from that live video feed. There's some problems with doing it live, and if I have to take a break or something happens and I play a little bit of music, I have to do a lot of editing, and I don't want to do that. So instead of doing that tonight, we're recording this with ScreenFlow, and we're going to record this video, and it will be available, as you may see it now, on YouTube or as a podcast on iTunes. You can definitely download it from iTunes, or you can go to my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and you can definitely go there and listen to it on tipsfromtheserverroom.com. So any way you want to capture this podcast is fine by me, and I'm glad that you just listened to it. Please check out my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008, 2012, or VMware ESXi. It's a definitely great place to go. The classes are very inexpensive, and once you're done, you do earn a certificate of completion. And we'll talk about that more at the end there. I got a couple messages to tell you about that from a couple emails I received. And the emails are a little disturbing. So if you send it, I'm sorry, but it was a little disturbing and I wasn't going to answer it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Tonight, I thought I was going to talk to you about GPOs or group policies. But I think before we talk about that, what we're going to talk about here tonight is we are going to set the server up that we worked on. So far, we've set up the DHCP server. We set up and installed DNS, and I showed you a little bit around there and how that works. Tonight we're going to make our computer, make our server. We're now ready to bring it up. Excuse me there. Tonight we're going to bring it up into an Active Directory server, okay, or a domain controller. And we're going to do that, again, by adding a role. Now I'm going to show you the old way we used to do it. At least I'm going to attempt it here. I think I can do this. And I'll show you that it does not work any longer. So let's go ahead and get started. All right, so the way we used to do this was we would go to the run command, and we're going to do a DOS prompt here. Actually, this is PowerShell, so that's not going to work for us. We'll talk about PowerShell another day. Let's see if I can find a run command, if we can even find it any longer. Here's run. So here's the run command, and we would type in what's called DC promo. And DC promo was a domain controller promotion. We're promoting the server. This worked up until version 2008. I did it all the time and it works great. But check this out. If we hit this now, what it tells us is the Active Directory domain service installation wizard has been relocated. It's in now in the server manager. For more information, see http://go/fclink/linkid. Holy crap. Or just see Jack here at Tips from the Server Room, and we'll show you how to do this. All right. So what we're going to do here, though, that's another feature or a role that we have to install. So they brought everything back into the server manager, which is nice because a lot of people out there don't understand or don't know all those hidden commands. I've been doing this so long since, you know, we had command structures and we had to use a command. So today we're going to show you now how to do it in Server 2012. And it's a lot easier because it's almost wizard-based. Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and do that today. So we're going to add a role and feature. And our little installation wizard comes up here. We'll try to resize this. And okay, we'll click next. Same server, select the server from the server pool. And the server we're selecting is the local server. I mean, there's only one that we have that we're working with. So click next. And here we're going to make it an Active Directory domain service. And once you click that, it's going to show you or tell you that it requires some other features for the Active Directory services to actually install and to load up. So we're going to go ahead and do that now. Click Add Features. I don't even know why they tell you that, because you can't go on until those features are loaded. So why would they even tell you to do that? Click on Next. This is in case you want to load anything else. It's going to load when it needs to load, obviously. Click Next. And Next again. Restart the destination server automatically if required. I think it is required. I'm pretty sure. But we'll go ahead and we're going to install and just leave it unchecked for now. And folks, I hope you've been enjoying these shows. It takes a lot of effort to put these together, as you probably know. And not charging anything for this. I never wanted to charge for these videos. I wanted to help you out. My main goal whenever I started doing these videos, tutorials for different people, I taught Photoshop, I've taught Windows, basic Windows, how to use Windows, photography. I've done all that because I want to help people learn a little bit more. Same kind of reason why I started this whole thing around Windows Server, around networking, because I want to help you folks out there that have questions and be like, well, Jack, I'm just not sure. Well, we're going to make you more sure and more confident to run your servers, and we'll show you these little secrets. So that's why I do these videos. So I hope they are helping you out. But I would like some comments, some feedback. I'd like some emails. I'd like some voicemails. You can voicemail me at 724-701-0911. Drop me a voicemail in there. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can Skype that account at Jack's Tech Corner. You can Skype in. Or email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com and let me know how we're doing, what's going on out there. And by all means, help out by, either using my link for Amazon. If you purchase anything on Amazon, use the link on the website. Or you can definitely also remember to sign up for the online classes, because they are pretty powerful. And I'm actually building one right now. There's going to be a new class launched very soon. I'll be telling you about that coming up here. Probably within the next month or so, I should have it prepared and ready to go. So, all right. So we're still installing here. And it's basically installing all of the added features is what's happening right now for my podcast audience out there. To the ones listening and tuning into the show. In your car, and you're waiting going, wow, we wish something would happen. Well, right now we're just kind of watching this and seeing if it's loading up here. If you are listening to it in the podcast, you say, man, I'd like to see Jack and see him. Because a lot of times I listen to podcasts, I say, man, I'd like to see what that guy looks like, or what kind of equipment he uses to produce his shows or whatever. Catch me at 42 Technoman on YouTube. That's number 4, number 2, Technoman on YouTube. Let's see. It still looks like it's installing. And let's see, I don't see anything that says it's okay, there's a little link now that says promote this server to the domain controller. We're going to click on that. And it's going to say add a domain controller to an existing domain. All right. Or add a domain controller to an existing forest, or add a new forest. All right. Now, folks, this is where a lot of people get stuck at. Okay, here's the solution again. So under your deployment configuration, you're going to have three choices. All right. First one, add a domain controller to an existing domain. That's if you already have a domain. And let's say we're going to add another domain controller. We do this to add a backup domain controller, and it helps with load balancing. Load balancing is just when we have 700 workstations on our network. So the traffic coming into that logon server in the morning is tremendous. So what we want to do is we want to create a load balancing solution. The way we load balance is we created another domain controller and we added it to our existing domain. So what would happen there is as that existing domain controller is taking logons, if it gets overburdened, automatically the other one's going to pick up and it's going to say, hey, wait, Joe, I'm over here. I'll start taking some logins for you. And our logins became very easy, very efficient, and very quick. So if you have a very large network, make sure you run two domain controllers. You're going to be very, very happy you did it. Or add a new domain to an existing forest. Now, a forest is a big name for domains or a server farm, okay? Is a forest. That's why they talk about forest nowadays. So if you want to add a new domain to an existing forest, that is putting a new domain name out in your forest. So let's say, for instance, if we have domain name Joe's Network 1.org. That's our domain name we're using, or .local a lot of guys like to use. So we want to add a new domain into that forest. So if that's the case, we would add Joe's 2.local and add it to that forest and add it to all those domain controllers. But when we add a new domain controller to an existing domain, what we're doing is we're going to have like domain 1.local, and then we'll have domain 2.domain1.local. So hopefully that kind of stretches, puts that into perspective for you. The next one here is add a new forest. That's what we're going to do. We're going to create a brand new forest, a brand new domain, because maybe you don't have one at this point. We're going to give it a name here. The domain name is going to be, we'll call it home dot local. So we're going to call this home.local because this is my home network and I can do that. We'll click next. And at that point, the deployment configuration is going to come up. Forest function level. This is very important when you talk about forest function level, because you have to know if you're running what's called a mixed mode. Mixed mode, we have it in our network, and maybe it's my laziness. I don't know what it is, but we have so many things tied into an old Windows 2000 server. I think it's 2008. And we have an old domain, all right? But if I want to set up a new Windows Server 2012 R2 with all of its new glorious security functions, all of its new GPO capabilities or group policy capabilities, I would set up my forest function level as a Windows Server 2012. And I would just leave it at that. But I can change this and I can pull this down and I can tell it's 2008, 2000 R2, or just 2012. Now, most of you out there were not running Windows Server 2012 R2 yet because it's not released. That's why we're not running it yet. Remember, it's still kind of in beta, so I would not suggest running Windows Server 2012 R2 across your network. Our mixed mode, we run Windows Server, and we have a 2008 in our domain. And the same with the domain function level, you would set this as the same, 2008. That way, this server knows that we're running in mixed mode. We have different security policies. We have different GPOs running. And it just seems to work. Now, if you're taking that plunge and you say, wait, now, we are the type of network, and I tell everybody, I live on the edge. And the reason I do that, I've done it ever since I started computing. I live on the edge. I've upgraded production servers to the new domain controller without ever testing it, without ever running a test network. And I think it's because I might be a little bit crazy, maybe a little challenged, you might say. But I don't believe in testing something on a test network. I don't have that kind of time. So when I decide I'm going to roll this out, I roll it out. I push the button and we roll it out. And right now we're running Windows Server 2008 on one actual server we're running that on. But we run our production servers are 2008 R2. We have no 2012 production servers whatsoever. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And probably the big reason, if I can upgrade my 2008 R2, my domain controller, to 2012 R2, I will do that. But for me to rebuild a domain controller, we did that last year, and folks, it was devastating. Devastating to me to rebuild that domain controller. And the reason is, we had to go out and touch 700 computers to get those back on the network. 700 workstations. It was absolutely nuts. It was crazy. And I don't want to do that again. I've done it three times since I've taken over my present location where I work right now. I've done it three different times. I've built three domain controllers, different server levels, and pushed those out. And there's a reason for that. The reason I do that is I don't like to upgrade. All right, I've never been an upgrade guy. I've always been one of those guys that install straight onto your network. I like to do the install and get the software fresh on your network. And when I do that, I decide that I'm making a new domain name. I decide I'm making a new domain name. And when I make that new domain name, well, you have to go out and you have to touch your workstation. So if you work at a very small organization and you have 10 computers or 15, or I've heard some guys work like with 8 computers. I don't even know why they need anybody working there, but hey, congratulations to you. I'm not knocking you by any means. It's very easy to set up a new domain controller. You could do it like that. You can snap it in and no problem whatsoever. But when we build one, it takes me approximately about a month to get it ready to go. And the reason that is we have a ton of GPOs, and we'll be talking about GPOs later on down the road in this podcast, and we'll be looking at those, and we'll be writing some together. That's pretty cool. But the GPOs are very important, group policies, pushing those out. We'll talk about pushing them out. We'll talk about forcing and all that great gloriness stuff there. But we have to copy it over. I copy my DHCP stuff over because I have a lot of reserved IP addresses. And I'll show you how to do that. It's tricky how to do that the best, but it took us a while to learn and to evolve ourselves to the point where we can move those DHCP files around. DNS we don't worry about because our DNS is dynamic anyway. For the most part, we do have one zone for our actual domain name for our company. So we do have one zone that we do move, but the rest of it is pretty much superficial, and it kind of hides in the background. But we like to move those records around. So when I build that domain controller, I don't put it into production until it's ready to roll. And once we get it to the point about 1 month out, I get myself and my techs, we all put our workstations on it and we start using it. We start getting the feel for it. We start making sure our logins are sufficient and very quick. And we start making sure that our data is flowing properly across that domain controller. Then we will roll that domain controller out. Because remember, we have 700 workstations we have to touch. And I know a lot of you out there are saying, Jack, that's not true. In DHCP server, you can tell what domain name, what, yeah, right. You have to connect a Windows computer to a Windows domain. And I don't care how you look at it or how you cut it, you have to do it at the client level. That's the best way to do it. Maybe old school, but that as absolutely it works. I know it's perfect every time I do it. Okay, enough BS in there for you. Let's move on. So we are going to say this is a brand new server. We're just building this. We're not hooking anything else to it, which we've been working on now for a few weeks. So we're gonna go Windows Server 2012 R2. All right. The password, we're gonna put our password in there. And I use the password, the same password as the administrative password for your server. Okay, so whatever you set that up as. Because it's easy to remember that. Click next. Password failed. Let's see here. I must have typed them wrong. Yeah, I think I did. I think I missed a character. It still doesn't like it. Let's say show more and see what it wants. Verification, safe password, the directory services, your server password do not meet the password complexity. All right, so that's it. So let's put a capital in here and a number and see if that meets the complexity or not. There we go. Okay, a delegation for the DNS server cannot be created because the authority parent zone cannot be found. Because we named this server what we named it, and it's not the name of the server apparently, so it can't be found. So let's just click next, and I guess it's trying to verify the domain name or the NetBIOS domain name, so we'll let that roll on there. And it is called home. That was the name. Next. A lot of this is just very wizard driven, so if you knew how to click the next button, you understand it. Now these are something very important. The database folder, the log files folder, and the sysvol folder. Very important, especially when we go talking about logon scripts, and we're going to talk about that down the road. The logon scripts go in your sysvolume folder, and I usually recommend you just leave it in the default place, because then when we go to talk about it, I'll know where yours is, and we'll be fine. We'll be able to load that up there. The log files do tend to get a little big at times, unless you go in there and you purge those out. We have never purged a log file since I've started my servers up. Some of them servers have been running almost 10 years, and I've never purged log files out. You can, and it's been recommended to put that on a large volume somewhere, but our servers, we normally give them, you know, like 100 gigabytes to install the software anyway, so it doesn't really concern me if these are on C Windows, so I leave them there. Your database folder, you can move it or not. When we ran an internet service provider company, when I did that, I moved it for security reasons, because if somebody would log on my server and be able to hack through my server, they couldn't get our user database because they didn't know where it existed. And that's why I moved it from the default position. But if you're in your own network and you have enough room on your server, then go ahead and just leave it run. Leave it work where it's at. And we'll click next. All this should look good. This is everything it's going to build for us. We'll click next and see if everything works out okay. And we'll see what happens here. So take a little sip of coffee from my radio audience. I can't see that. And if you are listening to this on iTunes, by all means, spread it around. Let's see. Couple little exclamation points there. Let's see here. Something about crypto. This peer at least has one physical network adapter with one static IP address assigned to it, IP properties. Okay. Well, that's all right. Let's click install. This is just basically an image anyway. So it's basically just a little virtual machine I'm running. So it's not a big deal. It's not running this stuff. We'll see if we can actually get this up and running. Our main chore here that we're trying to do tonight, the main goal is just to show you how to load up Active Directory and make it a domain controller. That is our main goal tonight. We can see it is actually building it up as a domain controller, setting the computer's DNS domain root and to local.home or home.local. And it says we're signed out. The computer is being restarted, obviously. So we're going to go ahead and restart this computer. Click close. It's ready to go. And you can see it's going to restart here. So that's how easy it is nowadays with Windows Server 2012 to start and set up an Active Directory Domain Controller, okay, AD. So many people get freaked out about Active Directory that, and I have a lot of interns that come through from a local college that I work with, you know, one-on-one, we work as a group. I try to teach them in a environment where we're actually running servers that how to actually work on Active Directory. They work on Active Directory from the day one when they come to me, and they work on it until the last day when they leave. The reason is, when you're doing everything in college and when you're doing everything in classes as a virtualization, everything is virtualized. That's what I don't like about these colleges, especially these tech schools. You have to let the guys take client computers out. You have to let guys build a actual physical server, and you have to let them plug cables in the network. It's way different than setting up a bunch of virtual servers. Because a virtual server usually will just say, well, like here, you don't have two NICs. It's okay, because we're not really using the server to log anybody into. So we don't have two network cards on it, and it knows that stuff. But it doesn't matter because it's a virtual machine. Where if you are running an actual real physical network and a real physical server, that is key. Just like I said when I was building my my online class for VMware ESXi server, which if you've never installed that and don't know how to set up virtual machines using ESXi, check out that online course. Once again, just go to my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and click on online courses. I purchased a server. I have a Dell PowerEdge 1850 rack-mounted server in my basement, and I told my wife the reason I bought that server was to teach this course. because I don't want to teach a course with virtual machines. I want you to see the physical side of the machine. That's a physical machine running. I loaded the ESXi on it. I show you how to install it. We talk about the install. And then we go back to a workstation and talk about loading virtual machines onto it. You know, I could have very well did it on a virtual machine, but I didn't feel right doing that. I wanted to do it on a physical server. Now, I have to be honest with you, I don't run that physical server in my basement all the time, because if you have servers in your server rack, guess what? They're very, very loud, right? When I lay in bed at night, I can hear that server. All those fans are, you know, humming along. So let's see here. We're going to see if we can bring this server back up, and we'll see where we're at here. All right. And, well, we got the Windows server running. Our server manager is coming up. We should now see Active Directory. We would hope that to be the case anyway. And we hope that's going to be loaded up on here. So let's see if it comes up here. Local server, all servers, local server, and all servers are coming up. Things are loading here. Somebody once said, Jack, how do you know things are loading? How do you see that happening? If you look at the very top, there's a blue bar going across right up here. Now it's not. It's done now. But look here. Now it says ADDS, Active Directory Domain Server. Now we have that running. And if you look here, we'll just click on that. That's going to bring up our system here. It'll give us our warnings that we've seen earlier when we was installing, and I'm not really concerned about those because we're more concerned at this point about building an Active Directory structure. And we'll be talking about that in future shows, how we do that. But it is all loaded up there. And we're going to go back to our system here. And then there's manageability, I think is this part of it. And go to ADDS. If you click on that, that takes you back here. So let's go back out. And let's see where we're at here. If I click on up here, it's the same thing. Click on it here. All right, so we're going to click here and click here. All right, and I'm so bad at that for my radio audience, and I get yelled at all the time for that when I'm saying click here. And I don't know if you watched I did a Windows 8 video on my Tech Talk the other night. If you go to my YouTube videos, you'll see that. And Windows 8, the R1, I guess it is, Release 1, or Service Pack 1, whatever they're going to be calling that, or 8.1, has this now. And if you're on the start screen, there's a pull-down menu right down at the bottom, and it's just an arrow. If you click that arrow, it opens up all programs. And now we have a new Active Directory. This is Active Directory Domains and Trust. We'll talk about that one day. Active Directory Administrative Center and Active Directory Module for Windows PowerShell. Active Directory Sites and Services. Active Directory Users and Computers. ADSI Edit. Okay, so we're going to go into the Active Directory Domains and Users. And we'll shut this down out here. And there we go. So there is our users, and here's where we add users right here. Here's the administrator account and all the other glorious accounts in there. We will talk about those later on down the road. So I hope that you understand now how to load up the Windows Server 2012 R2 and how to make it a domain controller. There are many, many, many areas to domain controllers and Active Directory. I don't want to try to tell you it's very easy at this point. It is very, very blown out of proportion. I can tell you Active Directory, a lot of people don't know this, but Microsoft actually purchased this years ago, and they bought Active Directory, or they licensed it, one or the other, I'm not sure exactly what, but from Novell Networks. So a lot of people say, Jack, Novell Networks is dead, it's gone. We did take it out of our network probably 10 years ago now, but I can tell you honestly that it is still alive. It's very strong, and the folks that use it really, really love it. So it's one of those, you either love it or hate it. And the ones that love it, if I knew it as well as they did, I'm sure I'd love it also. But we are really mainstream, and I shouldn't even say that now, but mainstream to me is if you are a Windows network and you're running Windows clients. But down the road somewhere, I may show you a little bit of the Mac and how the Mac connects to Active Directory easier than a Windows client. And I know you may be out there say, Jack, we're not Mac people. Quit talking about Macs. But honestly, we do have a lot of Macs on our network, a lot of Macs. I started buying a few, and now we are overran with Macs and OS X. Right now, a lot of them are running Mountain Lion or Lion. So it is what it is, but it works extremely well. People can still change their passwords. They do everything they're supposed to do with it, so it does work. And maybe we'll talk about that later on down the road. We also may talk about on this show tips from the server room. I'm going to show you and probably introduce you to controlling iPads, because I feel very strongly if you're a network systems administrator or if you're a person in a network running an office building somewhere and you're the guy that picked up the server and you're running it now, you need to understand tablets. It's very important to understand tablets because tablets are coming in your network. And I don't have my iPhone with me, I left it downstairs, but iPhones are coming in. Blackberries, and I know Blackberries are going away. And Androids. You don't know how many Android phones people hand me and say, here, set my email up on this. I really don't have a clue, and I'm trying to learn Android. I have one Android phone, and it's an old Samsung Galaxy S, the original Galaxy. It's a good phone. And I'm trying to learn how to put multiple accounts on it for people so I will know how to do that. But I think it's important that we talk about those kind of things on Tip from the Server Room so you're not just getting Windows Server. We're going to look at a bunch of different stuff. And I'm also going to bring home from our office my wiring gear because we're going to talk about making a network cable. I think it's important to be able to do that. We're going to talk about wireless access points more. We're going to talk about wireless gear, how to control that gear. And I'm going to show you our gear. I'm going to actually bring it up on the show and I will teach you and show you the gear here. So don't think that you're just listening to this podcast and all you're going to learn about is Windows Server, because I'm not that shallow of a network administrator. I see it and I get to, fortunately, I'm very fortunate at my job. We get to do it all because we're in education. And if you're in education watching this, open your mind up and get ready, because there's a ton of new stuff coming out there for you and you got to be ready to go. If not, you're going to find yourself on the unemployment line. That's just what's going to happen. We as technologist directors for schools cannot lock our systems down anymore. We have to be more open and we have to be more on the cusp of technology and allowing these children to use the technology and allowing the teachers to use it to educate. If you block everything out and you lock your servers down with group policy so tight that the kids don't know how to use a Windows machine, you defeated your whole purpose of being in education. You should probably be a tech guy sitting in a server room somewhere, maybe at a bank, just looking at bits and bits and megabits going through the system. So anyway, that's my grandstand for this evening. So hey, what can I tell you? Again, folks, thank you so much for joining me here at Tips from the Server Room. And if you get a chance, by all means, and I know I preach this, and people say, Jack, why do you sell your stuff all the time? All you are is a salesman. I'm not a salesman, but the thing I don't like is I get tired of these colleges. We have a local college here that's charging $45,000 for 2 years. 2 years at $45,000. $45,000 for 2 years. It's a technical school, okay? And they do teach a lot of principles. They do teach a lot of stuff. And I sit on the board of this college, and I yell all the time about it's too much money for what they're offering. It's only 2 years. And when they produce these people, they send them to me, and I get them for 3 months. And not blowing my own trumpet, but the folks always tell me, I always get this feedback. So I talk to them at the end of their internship and say, what can I do better? What did I do? What do you think is well? What do you think is bad? And they always tell me, Jack, you know, if they could have just paid me for 3 months, they could have learned so much more from me running a real network than what they did sitting in a school or classroom playing with VMs for 2 years and trying to learn math and speech, which didn't really help them at all. So definitely take a look at the online courses. I mean, they're very inexpensive. You can log on there. and take the online course. It's self-paced. I didn't want it set up so. A lot of these colleges, I just took a course recently, and I'm getting ready to take another course actually soon. But a lot of these courses, the way they do it, they have an opening date and a closing date. I didn't want to do that. And I think that hurts me. I should do that because I think it'll guide you guys to saying, oh, I got to get started with this class. I leave it open where it's self-paced. Now, if it's self-paced, what you do is you purchase it, you pay the money. But the reason why I leave it open, because you may need some updated information down the road. You may say, wait, I'm setting up an Active Directory domain control and I don't know what Jack taught me about that. You can log into the course anytime for the rest of your life and you can watch the video again and learn about that. Get it stuck back in your head. Or if you're doing DNS, maybe you're not doing DNS today, but maybe you do it 5 years from now. You'll say, I need to log back into that site. These courses are set up that way. It's forever and ever, and that's just the way it is. That's the way I set these courses up. They're self-paced. You watch a video. You take a short quiz. And in the end, you earn a certificate for your portfolio. And they're a lot cheaper than taking the Microsoft certification test. I've seen a lot of those courses, and that's what got me to start building my own courses. I put a lot of money out there to build these courses, to purchase the software, to record them. I got a lot of time and effort in them. But I do that because I want to make it inexpensive for people to learn, okay? And do I sell the courses? Yes, I do. I do sell the courses, but I also do this stuff for free. So you see a lot of this stuff, but the course will give it to you from A to Z, all right? Everything in the middle, you learn it step by step. That's important. This here, we're giving you some concepts. We're showing you around a little bit on these YouTube videos. And YouTube is good for that. But if you want it from A to Z, you have to sign up for the online courses. Now, with that said, I received an email today, and I have to bring this up to everybody. And if you sent me the email, thanks for sending it. I appreciate your efforts. But what you're asking for, I will not give to anybody, and I'm just not doing it because it sounds like somebody's probing my online course. And what I mean by that is it took me a long time to develop the online course and the way I do things. And what they wanted was a list of everything that I teach in that course. They wanted sample videos. Folks, these are the sample videos you're watching on YouTube right now. If you're on the podcast pulling us down, you have the option to go to YouTube, to 42 Technoman, and you have the option to look at my videos. These are the samples. This is the same way I videotape, same way I screencast to do my classes. It's the same thing you're seeing. The quality is the same. And the videos are basically running. The videos are not the same, but it's the same type of situation or solution. They also wanted a sample of my tests. So it sounds like somebody's probing, saying, Jack, we want to build something, but we have no idea how to do this. And since you've laid out the groundwork, we want to build it just like you. Well, that's not going to happen. The other thing they wanted was a sample of the certificate to see how it's laid out. Well, why don't I just paint a Picasso and give it to you and you can call it your very own? We don't do that here. Okay, if you want to take the online class, pay the money, take it, you'll get everything. You'll get to see everything, and at the end, you'll get a certificate. So then if you want to build a class like mine, you have that opportunity to do that because you'll get to see the videos. You understand how to record the videos, how to build the content. You'll see the quizzes. If you want to write your quizzes like mine, I really can't stop you from doing that. It is kind of plagiarism, but it is the internet, right? And if you paid for it, it is what it is. If you want to purchase the DVDs, a lot of people say, Jack, what's the difference between the DVD on the online class? Here's the difference. The DVD is all of its glorious videos up to today. So everything I've created, all the content I made up to today is on that DVD. The online class, if we do something at work, something new comes up. Let's say script writing. We've been doing a lot of writing scripts, and we'll talk about that on the podcast later a little bit. But it's also a lot of it in the online class. Because as we do something at work, and I say, wow, my online students might want to know how to do that. I build a couple of videos on it, and I will add those to the online class. If you buy the DVD, you're stuck with whatever's on the DVD. You don't get that new content because it's up to today. That's why it's cheaper. Okay, that's why it is a little bit cheaper. Also, you don't get the certificate because I have no way to track your knowledge because you're not taking the quizzes. So if you want to do that, your best bet is to take the online class. I can't iterate that enough. Take the online class. That's what you want to do. That's how you get the knowledge for this stuff. And there is a Windows Server 2012 class up, so there's no reason why you can't go and start learning that and start moving ahead from even where these videos are. Because these videos are going to bounce around. We're not A to Z on these, and it is what it is. But folks, that's it for tonight. I want to thank you so much for joining me here for Tips from the Server Room. I never knew how these would work out, and they seem to be going okay, I guess. I mean, the viewership is not that great on YouTube, and but I have a passion for this. I have a passion for teaching this subject, and I love teaching it because it keeps me fresh. It keeps me up on this stuff. And you know yourself, if you don't do it long enough, you start to forget, and it does keep me fresh. I like to teach it to you, and I enjoy sharing my knowledge with everybody. I love to get the emails, and my wife says most of the time you do that just to get a pat on the back. Isn't that why anybody does anything? If it's not for capital gain, it's for a pat on the back to say, hey, Jack, you know, thanks, you're doing a good job. I appreciate that, guys, and I've received a bunch of those emails, and thanks to those that have emailed me this past week saying thanks for my time and efforts. I do appreciate those very, very much. But you can help me out a little bit, because a podcast like this, you can see I've been talking now for about 40 minutes. And I showed a lot of stuff on the YouTube video, and we discussed it for the podcast here each step of the way and learning how to do this. But sometimes there is some, it'd be nice to have like a Q&A night. So if you can call in your questions, I'd love to get your questions, and they're great for the show. And, you know, people always say I have a voice for radio. They always say I have a face for radio. I'm not going to put your video up. You don't have to videotape yourself, but if you call my voice line, okay, my Skype line, and you can Skype it at Jack's Tech Corner, so that's free from anywhere in the world. Or you can call 724-701-0911 with your cell phone. I bought that number so I can take voice calls. That's why I purchased that number. And I pay for that every 3 months, about $20 every 3 months, so you can have a way to ask me questions. But folks, I need those questions to come in. That helps the podcast, and it makes it a lot more interesting to get feedback from you, the listener audience out there, or the viewing audience. So anyway, with that, that's my soapbox. I am so very happy for those of you that are tuning in, and spread the word. If you know other people that run servers or networks or server farms or whatever, tell them to check out tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Listen to Jack. I have a bunch of bull to spread with you guys out there and girls running networks, and we don't have enough females in our business, and I'm sure the guys know that. My wife always says, that's just because you want to hit on your text. That has nothing to do with it. This business is wide open for females. I don't know why females aren't getting into this business. It's very much male-oriented for some reason. Just like my photography side of my life, photography is very much dominated by women. I think women just trust other women to take pictures of them if they're pregnant or half naked or whatever, because men are just creepy, right? I guess. Anyway, thanks so much for joining me here, folks, and I will talk to you again next week on Tips from the Server Room. Take care. See you then. Bye for now. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.